Verse 2 of the song we just sang, "Yes, in thy name, O captain of salvation, in thy dear name, all other names above, Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory, and our King of love." Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory, and our King of love. It's a beautiful song, beautiful verse. "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe." And I thought that's a good song, maybe, Brother Donald, for the team as we leave, or maybe for a theme song in TESOL class. There's some beautiful thoughts in it of the work of Christ. And so we greet you this morning in Jesus' name, and greet each one of you. Your visitors, you're welcome to be here with us. Good to see you here. And look forward to looking into the Word of God just a little more this morning. I've already been blessed by what's been shared. And thank you for your prayers. This morning, the message title is, if you'll turn with me, maybe I'll just ask you to turn first of all. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at one verse here in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 5, it says this, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now I want to look at more of this chapter, but this morning the message title is Building Blocks of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to draw a picture on the board here. To illustrate a few things, so just give me a moment. This morning, as you go back in history, as we think about the house of God or the church of God, the temple of God, there's one building that stands out, and that was a temple that Solomon built many years ago, and it was a grand structure. It was he hired the thousands, hundreds of thousands of craftsmen to build this thing. And they hewed their rocks out of quarries, and they cut them to such precision that as they brought them to the building site, they never used an instrument, they never used a hammer on them. And I'm not certain, but I believe the archaeologists would say that they believe some of those stones are still, they've found some of them. They are incredibly big, up to 1,500 tons a piece. Today's equipment, today's engineering, they don't know how they would move them. And there they are. They were used in building a grand building, a building that made a statement then, a building that, if you go back and look in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you want to be sort of blessed by what God did there, go back and read that whole account where finally, it says there, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. This morning, as you look at this verse, what's the connection? I want to think about the church of Jesus Christ that is being built. Now, the church of Jesus Christ is not some huge temple in Israel that is in jeopardy of being missiled this morning. That was an interesting thought to me. Can you imagine what we would need to protect if that was the case? So that's not it. And it's not the cathedral here across town. And it's not even this little brick church here on the corner of 25th Street and 4th Avenue. No, it's something very different than that. It is an spiritual house here, as our text says, built upon a foundation as well. If you'll look up here in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. But chosen of God and precious. It's not a 1,500-ton boulder, but rather it's a living stone. It is a stone that is alive. It's a stone not chosen by Solomon, but rather a stone chosen by God. And it's not just granite, but it's precious stone. It's not just a big rock. It is the foundation of the building that we're talking about this morning. It's the foundation of Jesus Christ. The living rock. And the rest of the structure that we're thinking about here this morning, it didn't require 153,000 skilled carpenters to build the stone and the woodwork and all of the gold and all of those beautiful things. It's not like that. It's not made up of stone and wood. No, it's not a physical building, but it's a spiritual one. And it's made up of lively stones, as we saw here in verse 5. But ye also, as lively stones, are built up in spiritual house. It's made up of lively stones. And first of all, just to sort of, I don't know if I've made the connection, but I hope what I'd like us to do for just a little bit here in the introduction is to be able to picture the grandeur and greatness of the temple that was built, and include Herod's for that matter, and then see Paul here helping us to understand that regardless of this grandeur, there is now a living stone that has become the foundation of this house, this church, this temple, this house of God. And so this has become a living stone. And I wonder if that's not why the God allowed allowed it to be that the house that was built for him was such a statement and as grand as it was. Because regardless of how great it was, it still pales in comparison to the house that's being built today. And so it's the living rock, Jesus Christ. And on top of that, it's being built a spiritual house. And it's made up of lively stones. Lively stones. So I'd like to think, first of all, of the lively stones. What do they constitute? What makes those up? And I'd like to just bring us this thought, first of all. And that is, I believe, that the lively stones could represent groups of believers gathered together in assemblies. It could represent denominations. It could represent differences of administration and the groups that brings out. All brought together on the living foundation of Jesus Christ. And so as you begin to break this up and you see the living stones that make up this building, we can begin to say, well, that could be, and I'm not even going to put group, but let's just say denominations. And this could be just churches, okay?
And they make up.
They make up this spiritual house. I think we can look at it on that level for just a moment. And so one of the questions we may be asking ourselves is, so here it is. Pilgrim Mennonite Conference. And here it is. Fourth Avenue. What's the wall looking like here? How is this spiritual house being built? Are we as a group and as a church, are we a lively stone? Are we a strong piece of the wall? So I think we can think of it, of the lively stones on that level. But I want to spend our time this morning thinking on it differently, and that is individually. I believe that's the simplest understanding of this verse. And that is, as individual believers, those who have come to Christ and make up the body of Christ, ye also, verse 5, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. There are other scriptures that paint similar pictures to this. Think about the Bible, where it speaks about the body and its many members and the importance of each member and the interaction and all of that. Think about the vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And you see a building or a network that's put together, a system that's put in place, a body that's put together, a house that's put together for a work and a purpose. But this morning I'd like to focus our time for the remainder of the message not on the building itself and what it looks like, but on the building material. Not on the building, but on the building material, the lively stones, the building blocks of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so the burden of this message to me is, what is God really looking for? As you think about your place in the Church of Christ, as I think about my place, and as I think about this lively stone, what is it that he's looking for? And what is the section of the wall going to look like today? And as it grows, what will it look like tomorrow? As this body of believers is together here, and as we continue forward in life, and as other people are drawn to Christ, and as young ones accept Christ, and as others come in, what is it that's going to bring us together in becoming these lively stones that are going to build up the spiritual house of Jesus Christ? And I think these verses break it down pretty simply. I'd like to look at 5 points right from this verse 5, that teach us what makes up these building blocks of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and then I'd like to go into verse 5 and spend some time in there. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, this is in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, the lively stones, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's a lot of different thoughts in those verses, thinking about the fact that we're even given this option, that we have this privilege to become part of this spiritual body, because there was a day when God had focused his energies on a people of Israel, a nation, and we see an opening here. That's that is touched on. We also see, a little side note here, there are people who have stumbled where they, I believe, in thinking and the teaching that somehow Peter became this rock, as you go back into Matthew 16 or 17, wherever that is, and they begin to build a lot on Peter. And here we see in the writings of Peter, him very carefully and categorically explaining that the rock is Jesus Christ. He makes that very clear. And there's a couple other places you can go and look in his writings. He just makes that very clear. And so we can just put that to rest. That's not really the focus of our message this morning. But look at verse 5. This morning, what is being described, my first point is as lively stones. What is being described this morning is not a cold, dead stone, but rather it's a lively one. What one that has been brought to life. And this morning, as I thought about that, these are not new thoughts to us, but they bear, I believe, they must be said again as you look at this verse. And that is simply, as I considered this, there's nothing you can say, but coming back to the words of Jesus there in John 3, where he said, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. There's no way that for there to be a lively stone unless there is life brought into it. And so he said, ye must be born again. We don't happen into this spiritual house, and we don't grow into this spiritual house. We're born into this spiritual house. And that's just the way it is. As we think about our own lives, we think about Fourth Avenue as a church, and as we think about going forward, as we think about the day when, what will we be 20 years from now? What will we have developed in our children 20 years from now? What will our children believe? And we must come back that this morning, if we are to be these lively stones and be building up a spiritual house, which will be part of the kingdom of God, we must come back to this simple foundational teaching. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into this spiritual house. Except a man be born again, he won't even see the spiritual house. And so he will not be able to comprehend it. Jesus also said in another verse, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is an act of God. This thing of lively stones, it's an act of God. And none other. Also says right there in those same verses, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so today, I can do all that I want, and all I can produce is flesh. I can't produce spirit. I cannot enter into this spiritual house unless God works a work in my life. Because only God can produce the spiritual building block that is needed for this house. For this spiritual house. Only God can do that. There's parts of our choices, our accepting. There are things that God doesn't force this upon us. But as we reach out, only God can do this work. This morning, you and I have a part to play. And as I already mentioned, this thought of repentance, accepting. It's a choice to accept the provisions from the living stone, as we saw in verse 4. It's a choice to do so. And it's by faith. And just turn with me back to Romans 8. I recently was, I preached, I'm sorry, Romans 4. I'm going to go to Romans 4 and just look at a few verses here. As we think about lively stones and becoming lively stones, how does this take place? And what does it all mean? And I've been blessed by this portion of scriptures here in Romans 4. I preached a message recently on the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us. And I just think as you look at this portion of scriptures, it gives you such a, it makes that so clear. If you'll look at verse 17, let's just start there. Let's say verse 18. Now, this is speaking about Abraham. And Paul is recounting inspired writings here. He's accounting the story of what happened there with Abraham. And he said, who against hope? Abraham believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. God had told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. It's going to be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the heaven. And so Abraham believed it. And being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead. Again, speaking of Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see in his life here, something opposite than unbelief. And being fully persuaded, verse 21, that what he had promised, God had promised, he was able to perform it, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed. See, Paul says, now listen, this wasn't just for his sake, and I'm not telling this story again, which you all know, many of you do. I'm not telling you this story again just to fill up a page. I'm showing you how that in the same way, 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe in the plan that God put forth through Jesus Christ, this living stone, if we believe that plan, this living stone, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith. You see what he did? He just moved right on. He said, now I've made the argument. I told you the history behind you. I told you what God was doing there with Abraham. I told you how he was deemed righteous. It was imputed to him for righteousness. And I'm telling you that story so that you can understand how it is that you and I become lively stones in the spiritual house. And this is how. You'll look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, he moved on. Now that we settled that, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is how, my friends, this morning, we can become lively stones in the spiritual house. It's by faith. It is. It is a choice of faith. It is believing as Abraham did. It is, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. This morning you and I also cannot stagger. Well, we may stagger sometimes, but we need to get our feet back under ourselves and say, there it is. That's the way it is. And so in that, I have become a lively stone in the spiritual house that is being built. What a beautiful picture. Lively stones aren't stones that are in the ground anymore. They've been lifted up. And not only that, they've been shaped and they've been cut to fit in to a useful and to fill a place in this house. And that's this work of the new birth. That's this work of justification that I believe that we see. We become a lively stone because of the living stone. We become a lively stone because the resurrected Christ can resurrect other cold, dead stones. That's why there's such significance in the resurrection of Christ. That's what settled, that's what sealed the deal that's what clinched the salvation of mankind. It was the resurrection. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and he's our all in all. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's a lively stone. The true church of Christ at 4th Avenue this morning can only be built with lively stones, stones that are alive. I want to look at the spiritual house. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And as I thought about this point, my mind just was just taken to this statement here in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? This morning we are built up and spiritual house because the lively stone has become the temple of God. You see, in the old temple, in Solomon's temple, in Herod's temple, whatever it was, there was some place that was the holy of holies. There was a place in that building that was the holy of holies. Now we'll see also there in the account of in Solomon's account there, when God came into the house, the priest couldn't even get close to it. He filled up the full building. But as you think about and as you come up through history and you understand the workings of the temple, there was a special place where the presence of God was. And we know the account. You know what happened when Jesus died. There was a taking away and a removal of that place, that special place where the Spirit of God was. And Jesus is saying, Peter is helping us to understand right here that there has been a new house built. And it's a spiritual house. And the temple, those buildings, even that building was still there when Peter was writing this. But he said there's a different house that's being built here. And it is a spiritual house. And the Spirit of God has moved from a small place inside the building out into the very structure of it itself. It has moved out into all of mankind who comes to Christ. And it's building on that living stone. And so we see that. That's why the writing, those pronouncements by Peter or by Paul, that ye are the temple of God. And that is one of the most humbling and yet the most thrilling thoughts that there can be as a Christian. We don't understand why that is. I don't feel worthy of that. It's one of the most humbling thoughts in the Bible, that God has chosen to set up house in the heart of man, and that his Spirit is dwelling within the lively stones, a spiritual house. First of all, I also want to notice in this phrase, ye are built up a spiritual house. We are built up. And I wonder if maybe that's not saying that we are being built up a spiritual house. Any one of you feel like you have arrived as a lively stone? I mean, it's you're just squared off so nicely. You fit into that spot. So I see a progressive work here. And I think it's progressive because the Spirit of God, as it moves into our lives, it becomes an important tool in our lives to sanctify us and to work in our hearts. You see, the Spirit of God is not just there to fill an empty spot, but it is filling us for a purpose. It is filling us to empower us. It's filling us to enlighten us. It's filling us to sanctify us. It's filling us to keep us alive. It's filling us to better equip us for the task that we have been given by God, whatever that might be. Whole diversity there. And it is filling us to fulfill the desires of God. Thinking about this spiritual house and these spiritual lively stones, it's been given us to fulfill the desires of God as seen here in verse 9. If you'll look here in the text, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Lively stones, spirit-filled lively stones is what I see and what I've read so far, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is a work. This spiritual house, it isn't just some big spectacle on a hill. It's not. See, that's all been removed. But it becomes a spiritual house where God's saying, look what I'm going to do to this stone. I made him alive. I'm going to polish him up. And he's going to do the work for me. And he's going to bring forth praises to me because of what I've done in his life and he's allowed me to do in his life. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to look at a few verses there as we think about this Spirit of God.
a spiritual house.
Yes, I'm going to read just like verses 17 through 22. And came and preached to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, speaking of Christ. He came, as he came and he walked here on the earth, he preached to them that were afar off, the Gentiles, the heathens, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that interesting? The household of God. There's the same thought. It's not a building. It's temple is one word, but the other was where the Jews met. The buildings they met in. Just slipping my mind now. It wasn't that. He's pointing to something else here. This thought of the access by one Spirit unto the Father. We're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Some of the same thoughts are being said. The same thing that Peter was inspired to write, Paul is also writing here. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple. This is just some of the other verses that speak of the same thing here. You see the same picture being created, framed together, groweth. There is the same thought, this thought of being built up. It's growing into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so I see the work of the Spirit again in this thing of the spiritual building. It's through the Spirit connection. It's through this Spirit connection, this spiritual house, the Spirit of God within us, that we have access to God. It is through the Spirit that we receive our assurance of salvation. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The lively stones understand their connection to the living stone. And because of that, they recognize what has happened, that they have become part of this spiritual house. And there's times when we stumble at that. There's times when we feel like we've not attained to that, and we haven't. But God's saying here that there's the Spirit also bears witness. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, the one who has made it possible for us to be lively stones, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, the conclusion of this day of grace. That's what those verses are saying. The lively stones in the spiritual house have confidence and assurance of who they are and their standing before God and their foundation on the living stone. And we can say that. It's not presumptuous to say that. That's not a proud statement to make. In fact, I believe as I express my confidence of salvation in Jesus Christ, it's one of the most humbling statements that can be made. It's not a proud statement this morning. The living stones have that confidence. The spirit of being part of the spiritual house have that confidence and assurance of who they are. And that's this morning is what we need in our lives to be a part of this spiritual house. Number three, I want to just move on here. And holy priesthood. That's the third phrase in that verse, going back here to 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll get that straight yet. And that is an holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Any priests here this morning? I see a few just sticking their finger up a little bit. Revelations 1:6. We could read some more verses there, but let me just pull this one out for the sake of time. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he has made us kings and priests this morning. That's not a title that I've given myself, but we have become priests. And that fits with this spiritual house that's being built in place of the temple that once had a priestly order. Absolutely they did. The priests were required to carry out the sacrifices. They were the ones that were required to enter into this holy place. They were the ones who did a work of interceding and for the people who were outside of this spiritual house. And this morning, this phrase is talking about a consecrated to God priesthood. This morning, the living stone Jesus Christ has brought us to us an equality that has not existed before. An equality that has not existed before. See, I'm not the broker. I'm not the mediator of your ability to become a lively stone. I can't get in the way of that. The only thing I can do is point you to truth. And that is a responsibility and a God-given gift to every one of the lively stones. And so we've all become ministers of the gospel. And scriptures brings that out. We all become servants. We all become priests in this sense. And it's an holy priesthood. It is whether you're the bishop or the janitor, it makes no difference. Whether you're Donald or you're Kendall, it makes no difference. The young or the old. There's an equality that is brought into place here. In this house, this spiritual house of God, we have become equals in that sense. And we've become a part, each one of us, of a holy priesthood. Each one of us has joined the priesthood of believers. The lively stones are part of the priesthood of believers and have entered into a new and fuller relationship with God than existed in the previous dispensation. I have to believe that. There, when you change and when you make access to God through Jesus Christ so simple and so clear for any man, God has opened the door to a fuller relationship with himself. I have to believe that. God has created lively stones and a spiritual house where he can reside in and influence mankind directly. God is saying that he has changed up, moving from the temple and the tabernacles, and the word I looked for earlier was synagogues, but he has opened the door and made it possible that in this house of God, this spiritual house, it just surrounds. And it goes around. It encompasses the entirety of the earth and mankind, and all men can become part of this royal priesthood. If you'll notice there in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, and a select few of you are part of a royal priesthood. No, it doesn't say that. It just says, those of you who have become the lively stones in verse 5, you're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. We've become the building blocks of the church of Jesus Christ as we become lively stones through Christ, as we are filled with the Spirit of God in the spiritual house, and as we enter into the holy priesthood described here in verse 5. The privilege of equal access, we have the privilege of equal access with the responsibility of carrying out the ministry of God here on earth. And I believe that's why God has, For his message to go out to all mankind, for his message to the message of salvation, the message of the sonship of the believer to God, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, God has opened the door and is using the lively stones of this spiritual house to accomplish that work. Well, let's move on to my fourth point, and we'll close this up here promptly with the last two points, is offering up spiritual sacrifices. You'll notice here in the next phrase is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We're thinking about building stones in the church of Jesus Christ, in the spiritual house. What is it that God is looking for from us? We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And this connects directly with this thought of the priesthood. It was the priests who offered sacrifices. That's what they did. And this morning, and they still do in groups who have not accepted the fullness of this living rock. That system is still going on. This morning, if the holy priesthood, think about this for a moment. If the holy priesthood had been extended to all, imagine what kind of temple it would take to be able to accommodate the work of so many priests. What if we all had to fulfill our responsibilities as priests by offering sacrifices this morning and on an offering and on an altar and as you see depicted in the Old Testament? There would be a problem, wouldn't there be? So we understand that this priesthood has been extended in a spiritual way to all who come to him. This morning, our sacrifices are different. They are. They're different. They're greater. They send up an even better and sweeter aroma to God than those of the old. What are those sacrifices? Well, Psalms 4, verse 5 says this, the sacrifices of righteousness. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That's one. There's many others. Psalms 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And this morning, Brother Clark spoke of it in his Sunday school lesson. That's what David was leaning on right there. He said, God's not going to despise my contriteness, my sorrow for what I've done. And so I'm just going to cast myself upon a merciful God. And that's what he did. And this morning, that is the sacrifice that God's looking for. Philippians 4:18, but I have all and abound. I am full. This is Paul, and he said, I received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And so what had happened was the Philippian church had sent gifts of support and love to Paul, and Paul was responding back to them. He said it was an odor of a sweet smell. It was a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And so we see that our sacrifice becomes that of service and giving of ourselves for others. These verses, this thing of a sacrifice, helps us to understand, offering up spiritual sacrifices, helps us to understand verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Oh, no, that's not a bunch of works talk there. It's offering up a sacrifice. It's offering up a spiritual sacrifice. It's saying, I'm willing to lay that down. I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing. And it continues on, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. A spiritual sacrifice. And also, as you'll notice in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I believe that is also included in this spiritual sacrifice. And then the final statement in this verse, the final phrase, says this, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that's my fifth point, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Even as we glory in what we've become in Christ, the fact is that we have become lively stones. The fact is that we are being built up a spiritual house. The fact is that we are a part of a holy priesthood. The fact is that we have this opportunity to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God that bring to him a sweet smell and a savor. We never forget how it is. Regardless of all of that, after all of that, after we have entered into that, we never forget how it is that we fit into the spiritual house. I believe Peter does well with this. You'll notice this in the writings of Paul almost every time. As he gives practical instruction, he always wraps it up with how it is that any one of us is going to be accepted by God and how it is that we're going to attain to that. He says right here, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's not because I'm so special. It's not because I'm such a special lively stone that I'm going to be accepted of God. It's not because of who I am that God's going to give me a portion of his spirit. It's because he's accepted the lively stone that I am because of Jesus Christ. It says that right here. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And because of that, this morning, if you'll notice in verse 7, and he that believeth on him, the last phrase, shall not be confounded. He said, I laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, and there's a whole lot of people that stumble by it because they get caught up in some of the things that Brother Dwayne was talking about this morning. It's because of who we are. And they stumble by it. And it didn't work for them. They fell because of it. But for those of us who have accepted the provisions that God lays out here in these verses, we will not be confounded. We won't be confounded today, and we won't be confounded in eternity. This morning, personally and as a congregation, as we commit ourselves to the beautiful and the life-changing plan that's laid out in this verse, we have nothing to fear. We know how we are to build. It makes it clear how we are to build here. It's directly upon the living stone that we see here. How it is that we're going to enter into this spiritual house. And as we enter into this relationship, we will be built up into the spiritual house of God with all its benefits. And that'll happen by the operation of God. That phrase stood out to me, and I went looking for that verse. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so the operation of God, brothers and sisters, is what's going to make Fourth Avenue in the end, me personally, and Fourth Avenue a part of this spiritual house. And that's what each one of us wants. We're going to get there by following the plan laid out in scriptures. The simple plan, and yet one that requires all of us. It really does. May God direct us as we play our role in the building of this great spiritual house here in Altoona in our own lives. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. You're the great God of heaven and earth. You span time as we know it. And you saw the temple that Solomon created. And you entered it and filled it with your presence. And as we come up through the corridor of time as we know it, as recorded in the Bible, and we saw your work among the children of Israel, and we saw your work with David. And as we come into this era today of the day of grace that we call it, as Jesus Christ came, your only Son, and as he said those hard things to Nicodemus, you must be born again, we see the beginning of a window of opportunity of time for us to enter into a spiritual house, a house that had not a house that is brought into its fullness in Jesus Christ. This spiritual house that we can be a part of, the one that encompasses the earth. And it makes possible that all men, regardless of who they are, rich or poor, that they can enter into this house through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to stand upon the living rock, to be settled, to be committed, to believe, and accept by faith the provisions that you've provided for us through Christ. And I pray that we would be, as we individually here, this body, as we move ahead, as we walk, and as we live in this society, I pray that you would help each one of us to be the lively stones that you desire us to be. Lively stones that can be part of this spiritual house. Lively stones that are filled with the Spirit of God. Lively stones that are part of a holy priesthood. And I pray that you also would bless this little assembly. Lord, we desire it to be part of this lively stone of this spiritual house. Give us wisdom, guide us, and direct us. But most of all, Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us to sincerely look at our own lives. Help us to remain committed to the truth. Help us to stand in faith. I pray also that you would help us to root out that spirit of unbelief that so easily crops up in our hearts and brings along with it a whole lot of things. the desire to somehow become a good enough person that you would accept us without Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves and come before you and become the lively stones that you desire us to be. Then allow that to work out in our lives in all the different ways that it will do. Help us to be willing to accept that too, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.